The ninth article here, we're on it, of God's purpose of grace in the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. God's purpose of grace. Let's read this. We believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners, that being perfectly consistent with the free agency of man, it comprehends or takes in, okay, takes in all the means in connection with the end. You know, the Lord isn't making up what he's doing as he goes. He's got a plan, doesn't he? He does have a plan, indeed. And that it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable. That it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, promotes love, prayer, praise, trust in God, and promotes indeed active imitation of his free mercy. That's where we're called to be merciful, aren't we? You know, listen to that. Hear that. We are called to be merciful, like our Lord is merciful, and we need to be so. That it encourages the use of means in the highest degree. And the Lord's people, Lord's children, Lord's churches are that means. We're to do and pursue according to the Scripture. That it may be ascertained, or that's connected to that word assay, to value. How much gold's in there? Is that fool's gold? That's what the assayer would do. Is that pure gold, or is that gold mixed in there with a lot of rock? What's the value of it? Okay, that it may be. Its value might be known by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel. Those who believe the election is going to be shown forth. They are the Lord's because they have believed and they trust in the Lord and they have a relationship with the Lord. That it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it, there's that word again, to assay it, and with regard to ourselves, demands and deserve the utmost diligence. So we, as the children of God, are called to make sure we are the children of God, all right? And to introspect. You know, we're called to introspect when we take the Lord's Supper and evaluate our lives. We're to be mortifying this flesh. We're to be listening to our Lord. We're to be heeding in His Word and hiding His Word in our heart. You know, there's a bill of goods that's sold, and the next article speaks against it, but there's a bill of goods that's sold. It's like you're saved, be baptized, join a church, done deal. It's over. It's not over. It's not over. We're called to service and to walk with our Lord and to learn about Him and to be a witness for Him of the good things that He's done for us. It's not over. It just, when the Lord saved, it just started, didn't it? All right, and the seventh portion of this, we're in that it is the foundation of Christian assurance. We dealt with these first two passages. We're going to John chapter 6. Let's go there. John chapter 6, verse number 37. And I know we've been on these articles a long time, and I hope it's not tedious to you. I do my best to not make it tedious and pray that the Lord will help us to learn. You know, we need to, I was thinking about this afternoon, you know, we're going to come up on, we're going to have this next article of sanctification, and we're going to run into a passage there that we'll probably spend some time on it, and we'll be going in there and mining and looking into that passage regarding the Word of God. And so understand, you know, just about, well, we've been on the New Hampshire Confession of Faith and the Articles of Faith and all that. We've been on that for a long, long, long time. But if that's our thinking, you know, shake yourself out of that, because there's a bunch of little pieces and parts in here that we've been taking a look at. They're all different subjects unto themselves. And then we've been taking some of those and the articles and that, puts them together, and we have different. We take those different pieces of information and wisdom from the Word of God, and they're put together for other subjects. And so we've got outline upon outline upon outline, subject upon subject upon subject, that's at hand. And that's the living side of how the Word of God is. It speaks about so many things. And if you're reading and studying and having questions of your own in the Scripture, I trust during the preaching and the teaching that we have here that maybe we'd run across some answers for some of those questions that we have. I mean, that's all part of how all that works together. It is dynamic indeed. Christian assurance. That election is the foundation of Christian assurance. So let's look here at John 6. John 6, verse number 37. The Scripture says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I tell you what, this passage takes the pressure off for results, doesn't it? The results are in the Lord's hand. We just need to make sure that we're obeying our Lord in throwing out, sowing the seed, amen, and telling the gospel. That's when we've been successful, is when we've told the gospel, when we've lived the gospel, when we've stood in the doctrine of our Lord as a church and as a people. We're a witness of the good things of the Lord. There is a people that the Father has given to the Son. He's done that. That was done before any of us and any of this was created. It's that way. It's the only way that there could be those that would be with our Lord in glory. Amen? Because in and of ourselves, we just can't know God. We can't see God. We can't understand God. We can't come to God. Some interesting words here that I want to point out coming in the coming verse. But in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Truths at hand. You come to the Lord in repentance and faith, he'll not cast you out. And all those that are the Lord's will come to him. They will come to him how? They'll come to him at the call that he gives for sinners to repent and believe and trust in his Son. That's the call. That's not enough. There's nothing else. I don't think that'll work. Nothing else will work either. I mean, if you think that, you're bailing out on what the Lord has ordained and what he said will work. Because there is no other way. One way. That's found in our Lord. And say, I don't know if I really believe all that. Well, if you don't believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be saved, and you will spend eternity in hell, separated from God. But the Lord did send his Son, so that sinners like you and me can be saved. And I tell you what, you can trust the Lord. Amen? He's trustable. He's reliable. He says what he means and means what he says. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." You and I know nothing about that until a sinner says, "You know what? The Lord has saved my soul." Then we know about it. We know then they're one of the elect. We don't know who the elect are. But when the testimony of salvation by Christ, "The Lord visited me. The Lord saved me. The Lord showed me my sin. The Lord showed me him and how precious he is, that he died for me, was buried for me, and rose again for me." Oh, okay, I've been saved. The Lord has saved me. Oh, okay. Well, you're one of the elect. That's the only way we find out. There's nothing, there's no secret code on birth certificates, are there? No, we don't know that. But the Lord knows that. And you know what? They will come. They will come. And so we don't have to be concerned about, I mean, we need to have zeal and desire. We do. We got the best message that there is. Amen? I mean, we've got the best message that exists. is salvation, forgiveness of sins, salvation, and everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Well, we should tell it. Amen? Well, we should tell it and rejoice in it. And you know what? Those that Jesus has from the Father, they'll come. They'll hear it. They'll be of us. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to the Lord, he's not looking for somebody to scorn and to boot out. Now, listen, don't come to the Lord on your terms. You come to the Lord on his terms. You being devoid and empty of everything that you are. And you trust and rest in Christ. We look to him for everything. And then here, verse 38. We don't go to him until he's come to us. Right? For I came down from heaven. Just like he told Nicodemus in John 3. No man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He came down. And the Lord's put this good word, the Bible, the scripture together as his message from eternity, each and every one of us. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus is no freelancer. Don't you be a freelancer. I'm not to be a freelancer. The Lord Jesus is obedient to the Father. I should be obedient to my Savior. That's the order, isn't it? Right? The Son's obedient to the Father, and we should be obedient to the Son. That's what our Lord has done. That's the example. We're to do his will. But, well, I know the Bible says, no, what the Bible says, you and I need to follow, don't we? We need to follow it. That's a place of blessing. When the Lord says, be merciful, we need to be merciful, don't we? Be a merciful people, for example. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Not one. Not one. What about Judas? I mean, the Lord makes a statement regarding Judas. Well, I tell you what, all that about Judas is in the Lord's hand, and I'm glad I'm not Judas. Aren't you? Amen. That's all in the hands of the Lord Jesus as he praise there about the son of perdition and that. But I tell you what, Judas has been and it's past. And he's in hell right now because he didn't trust in Christ. He was a professor but not a possessor, wasn't he? He held an office as an apostle. Highest or greatest office in the Lord's church, apostle, but that didn't save him. He was the treasurer. That didn't save him, did it? He walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years, but that didn't save him because he didn't have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He had all the works, but he had no fruit. And that's, you know what? When the Lord Jesus sent out the 70 and he sent out the apostles to do well, Judas may have very well worked miracles. I mean, according to the scripture, that's what the Lord said. And I came across a passage the other day in the Gospels that told about how the Lord told the apostles to go and raise the dead. I had forgotten that or hadn't seen that before. But he told them to raise the dead. Wow. But you know what? The Lord is only pleased not by works, but by faith. This is the Father's will of this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. And we know that that's so. There'll not be one that will be lost, but should raise it up again at the last day. Not only will it not be lost, but they will live. We will live. We live now, and we'll live eternally with our Lord. Death, the sting of death. And I tell you what, I mean, I'm not volunteering to die. I don't want to volunteer to die. You know, you've heard that said about who wants to go to be with the Lord, and they raise their hand and say, okay, well, who wants to go right now? Nobody wants to raise their hand. It's in us to live, and that's right. It's in us to live, and we should live, because the things of life and death are in our Lord's hand. But the Lord's taken death and made it that passage on to be with our Lord. It may hurt. It could hurt a lot. But eternity's longer than that. And He will raise us up again at the last day. Verse 40, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, the will of God, that everyone which seeth the Son." Isn't that interesting that this portion ends up with that? Everyone that seeth the Son. Everyone that seeth the Son. Do you see the Son? "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him." That's where it believeth. "Seeth Him for who He is." Seeth Him for how we do not compare to Him. He's the standard, isn't He? He's the gauge. And we fall way, 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 way short, don't we? As far as the east is from the west, we don't compare to our Savior, do we? We see Him as Savior. We see Him as the judge. We see Him as Lord. Every knee shall bow. Amen? "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, I tell you what greater assurance to have that. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are the words of the one that hung on the cross, died, was buried, and rose again for me and for you. Those are His words. He doesn't lie. He can't lie. I tell you what, that is wonderful, isn't it? Romans chapter 11. Let's take a look over here. Romans 11. The Lord was working on our behalf before we were even born, before there was even time, before there was even an earth and a universe and that. In Romans chapter 11, we've seen this verse before up in the third portion of this article. And don't misuse this verse. All right? And this is speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." The gift of salvation, the calling of the Lord upon the sinner unto salvation. The Lord's not going to back up on it, is He? Not going to get down the road and change His mind. But it's every way and every way solid and secure in Christ. The eighth part of this article says, "And that to ascertain it," okay, "to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence." Again, to weigh it, to assay, to ascertain, not to take it to ourselves, but to know that it's so, to make it certain, to know precisely that we are the Lord's. Okay? Are you the Lord's? Well, just saying you're the Lord's is not enough. You have Christ. Have old things passed away and all things become new because of the Spirit of God living within? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are the Son of God? Do you hear Him speaking to you through His Word? And it's important. It's necessary to take it and apply it. It's necessary to follow Him. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look over here. Second Peter chapter 1, we read here in verse number 10. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. He's talked about those things to add to faith. Faith given by God, possessed by men. That's the way that it is. Faith is a gift. But then we do have it. We own it. We are to exercise it. Faith in the Scripture is always talking about faith in the Lord Jesus. Looking to Him in every way. Faith in Him. Faith in Him. He's told those things to add to faith. Don't be forgetful. Have these things in ourselves. Be adding these things. Thereby we will not be unfruitful. If we lack these things, we can get blind. We can get to the point, child of God can get to the point, they've forgotten that they're saved. Boy, That's bad, isn't it? But don't add to faith. Don't add to faith, and that's what can happen. Verse 10. But wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, this adding to faith, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Lord saves, he saves eternally. But he's left us here with this old man, maybe with the new man within, right? I mean, that is the definition of salvation, is the Spirit of God moving and working and living within. We have the Spirit of God living within. We've got this old man that the new man's dragging around, so to speak. The old man just wants to do nothing but hinder the new man. The old man still hates the way of the Lord and all that. That's the reason all that's got to be squelched down. It's got to be pinned down. It's got to be mortified. And we are called to make our calling. Did the Lord call me? Did the Lord call you? Did the Lord call you into salvation? Were you just obeying what somebody said, or was the Lord God of heaven dealing with you and your soul? Nobody can answer that for you. I can't. No person, no parent, no mama, no daddy. Nobody can answer that for you. Because it's a thing between the individual and the Lord Jesus. Did the Lord call me? Do I believe in His gospel? Do I believe in Him? In Him? Not believing in His church. Not believing in some of the wonderful doctrine that He's given us to hold to. But do you believe in Him? You say, yes, the Lord did call me. The Lord did convict me. The Lord has visited me and saved me and given me assurance. I know by the faith that He has given me in Him that I am one of His elect. See, that's the order. It's not finding out that you're elect and then go ahead and add these other things. Brother Mark had the article about the people, so-called Baptists, going back to sprinkling infants. And said, and they actually had the blasphemous audacity to say, it really doesn't matter what comes first. Baptism, faith, baptism. That's a works kind of fair, isn't it? That's a semantics kind of thing. It's just do this and do this. And universalism's that way. Just the ultimate end of that is, well, just do whatever you want. God accept. We're all trying to get to the same place. Well, everybody wants to live, don't they? There's only one way to live, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sprinkle that baby and then raise them on up and then say, Mama, what about Jesus and all that? You know, go somewhere and hear some real preaching. Might not hear it there. But what's it say in the Bible? Let's use that example. What's it say in the Bible about believing in Jesus? Oh, honey, you were sprinkled when you were... I mean, because that's what can happen. It's a personal thing between us and the Lord. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It doesn't say election and calling. Calling. Were you called? If you were called and saved by the Lord, indeed, you are one of His children. For if you do these things, you know, one that doesn't have faith is going to find it very hard to add anything to faith. It's going to be a struggle to continue to add virtue to faith, isn't it? It's going to be a struggle to add knowledge to virtue, isn't it? If there's no faith, with no foundation. It's going to get weary. It's going to get become drudgery. That's the way idolatry and paganism and all that is. It's drudgery. Self-righteousness is drudgery. To add temperance and to add to patience, the temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness add love. If you hadn't been called and you hadn't been saved, you don't know what love is. But we have been saved. We know we've been called by our Lord. Then we know we are the Lord's indeed. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. I think this is great. This verse has come alive more to me in recent years. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or mature. Listen, what I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I've been, for the sinner that's been saved, has been called, has been saved by the Lord Jesus, we've been apprehended. Jesus has caught up with us. And there's nothing better. Now, I tell you what, in the pursuit, it was miserable, wasn't it? The conviction and the squeezing, the being emptied itself, and the trial and the desire for relief and assurance and help and all the confusion, that birthing, that conviction by the Lord, that pursuit, that apprehension by the Lord, go from not even caring and thinking everything's great, and then they start. You go and you hear something preached, or maybe you read something in the Bible, and it just gets a hold of you and won't let go. I don't want to think about that. Can't not think about that. Can't sleep at night. Wake up afraid at night. Afraid you're going to die and go to hell. Afraid you're going to die right now and go to hell. Afraid that. Jesus doesn't mean it. For all that stuff that we think and all that, the Lord and the Lord empties himself, and we cry out unto our Lord for mercy. He saves us. He shows us Christ. The salvation is in none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go from this great burden and grief and heaviness to being saved and set free and joyful. We're relieved. We've got assurance. We know that the things of the Bible apply to me. To me. That the Lord Jesus did what he did in the Gospels, what's accounted in the Gospels. The Lord Jesus did all that so he could save me. Not a volume salvation, but an individual salvation. He apprehended me. He apprehended me when I wasn't even looking for him. I thought everything was great. And then he really made it great. But he says, the apostle says, I haven't got to where I want to be for the sake of my Lord. Hear that. Not as though I had already attained. Oh, I want to be closer to him. I want to walk with him. I want to see him. Don't you want to see him? We do. We want to see him, don't we? Want to be with him? Want to be near him? Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, I'm walking after, I'm going after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's apprehended me, and I wish to apprehend him. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Learn more about what he's done for me. Learn more about His promises that He has in store. Learn more about, by experience with my Lord, to carry me through the good times and the grievous times of this remaining life. To be a witness to others, that I might be used of the Lord to be a good witness to them. I want to be a better witness for Christ, don't you? Because the Lord had witnesses that He used for me. The Lord started dealing with me, and about for a year there, everywhere I go there, I'm doing nothing but preaching about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ. So I get all disturbed and troubled about that. So, well, they're preaching about Jesus Christ everywhere I go. Everybody talks about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's apprehended me. And He did apprehend me. And now I desire to apprehend Him. Don't you? That to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence. You know what? Work's important. Family's important. But there's nothing more important than this subject. Because this is the eternal subject. And we're to do well, as our Lord has commanded, in those other realms. But this is the most important thing. Are you saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have Him? And does He have you? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1. Scripture says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let's go ahead and read the next verse. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He's writing, the apostle's writing to the Hebrews, to the Jews, telling them and showing them how, and all that of Judaism, that Jesus is the answer to all that. And we have the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us as a church and as children in His church, you know, to preach the gospel to every creature. And so this isn't talking about giving up on that, that there's something higher to do than that. But as a church and as a people, we are called to go ahead and move on and grow. There's other things to learn about our Lord, and there's doctrine in the church that we need to know about, and that pertains to us and pertains to our Lord. We need to go on and leave the foundation. It's not saying to take the foundation and pitch it out. But as He talked to these Jews, we need to move on from the foundational things of salvation, the reason for baptism, and those things of our Lord. Repentance and trying to work for salvation and how he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Now, saying God is not right, but we need to move on from just the being a babe. It's another way of saying that. We need to move on from the milk of the Word and start getting some meat of the Word. And so, are you growing? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Since the Lord saved you, have you learned? Or have you grown from where you were this time last year? Has some things, has the Lord taught you some things in that? If you're one of His elect, if you're one of His children that He has saved, and the Spirit of God lives within, if He's called you and saved you, and thereby shown that you're one of His, you will be growing. Some grow 30, some grow 60, some grow 100, but all are bearing fruit. Amen? Amen.